Hey, this is Chase Barber.
And I'm Jordan Willey.
We're two blue-collar boys doing some blue-collar interviews. Yeah.
Oh, what? Well, hey, let's start with that. So wait. Please explain.
So you know how you change from high to low in your gearbox in a Road Ranger?
Mm-hmm.
Every truck in the world is all the same color.
So the same
color. 13, your 15, so your 13, your 15, and your 18s are all the same no matter which country you go to.
Oh, shit. I didn't. Yeah, it's the same. Like, I get what you're saying now, but okay, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, should we get started on the old podcast here?
Yeah, I was going to let that be the beginning, but hey, we can introduce our guest now. We got Drew on. Drew Brown, is that the name?
That's the one.
Okay, perfect. Where are you from, Drew?
So I'm based in Sydney, Australia.
Okay, very cool.
The lovely wet coastal season at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And you guys get, like, when you say wet, your rain is, like, heavy. Like, that stuff, the videos you've sent us so far, it looks like when it pours there, I wouldn't want to be outside.
When it pours, it pours. We got about 100 million in 2 days over several times over the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And for the Americans, what's that, 4 inches?
Four inches, 5 inches of rain in 2 days.
And jeez. That's
pretty consistent over a 6 week period.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair bet.
Yeah, no, they'll definitely do some flooding where I'm from. So.
We've been flooded out. My work's been restricted because I haven't been able to get out on the road.
Mm-hmm. And so with diving into work, what do you do for work?
So I'm currently a rigid driver up until, unfortunately, Wednesday. I haven't had a chance to mention it, but my contract's just come to an end.
Oh, so your contract. So you're contracted with work.
So my main contractor through work has decided to end the contract. So I'm actually upgrading to a double license.
A double license. So I don't know what that means.
So that means I will be driving an AB configuration.
Okay.
So how exactly does the licensing work in Australia then? So here you have it basically goes in numbers. Like a class 5 is a car. Class 3 is a body job, what you guys call a rigid, just the truck, no trailer. And then a class 1 is a truck pulling any trailer configuration you want.
So over here, we've got a little bit differently. There's a lot more to it. So you've got your class, your car license, and then you've got your light rigid, your medium rigid, your heavy rigid. That's just your rigids, which is your straight bodies. So your light rigid is anything over 4.5, under 7. Your medium is 7.5 to 9, but that has to be dual axle. And then your heavy rigid is anything over 9 ton, but it's got three axles minimum. But then you can tow. So then you've also got your heavy combination license, which is a heavy rigid front with a trailer on the back, or a semi-license. And then you've also got your multi-combination, which is any combination of trailer.
So do you have to work your way up through the licenses, or can you just go right for the end one?
So the way it works in my state, New South Wales, it's you have to start on your C license, then you can go after a year of driving that, you can go into a heavy rigid or a medium rigid. I chose a heavy rigid, so I'm actually about to upgrade myself. And then from that, you can go straight through to your multi-combination.
Okay.
So you've got to sit on so it's a year each.
So you can't just start driving the biggest configuration, though.
Unfortunately not, no. But saying that, the multi-combination is our road trains.
Okay. I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. You got to start with just a normal straight truck first, but...
Yeah.
Here in Canada, you can literally just get your license, like go from your car license to your truck license, take like now you have to take a 2 week course. It used to be like when I started driving truck 15 years ago, you would have nothing but a car license that you could just take a test in an automatic car. You can then the very next day bring in a loaded truck, go get your full on license, and you can start pulling Jeeps and wheels and boosters. Like you can stretch out to multi combinations. Like all you needed to do was go in and do an hour and a half road test. That was it.
Well, hey, you've got a two. It's to go, so the license depends on your test. So we've got, so based on each of those licenses, you've also got three categories. You've got your automatic, which is just your automatic. You've got your synchro and your road ranger. So to do your auto or your synchro is a single day course here.
Yeah.
To do your road ranger is two. But once you've got your road ranger, you don't have to sit any more road ranger courses. So you just do a single day course for each upgrade.
And you call road rangers your manuals?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So that's our open column, double clutch gearbox. Whereas the synchro is just, it's very similar to a manual car.
Mm.
You've got your one clutch, and you'll be able to shift through your gears pretty quickly.
It's hard to, yeah, you guys call everything so different, so it's hard to, I don't even know what you're talking about.
we just call them manuals. Because Road Ranger is a brand of transmission.
Because, you know, the only ones I'm aware of are our Alice Eaton's and the Max, I think, got their own. And there's a couple of others, but they're not.
Spicer, Eaton, and Road Ranger are the three big ones here. I think Eaton by far has taken over as what 80-90% of trucks are.
Yeah, mostly Eaton.
But you know what we found out talking with Drew here? It was about the high-low splitter between a 15 speed, a 13, and an 18 speed. Do you like? I started looking into it. No matter where you go in the world, if you're driving an 18 speed, your thumb splitter is gray. If you're driving a 13 speed, the thumb splitter is red. If you're driving a 15, the splitter is blue. So immediately when you hop in the truck, and no matter where you are in the world, it's the same in, if you're in Europe, if you're in Australia, if you're in Canada, America, if you hop into a truck and you see a red splitter, it means that you are driving a 13 speed without having to try and figure it out. They standardized it across the entire world so that drivers would immediately know when they're hopping into trucks. And I think that of all the stupid things that aren't standardized in the world, the fact that the thumb splitter on an 18-wheeler transmission is standard.
Yeah. It is pretty funny. It's actually funny because I'm sure actually a lot of guys probably don't even know that those are the colors for them. But it is funny that it's standard throughout the world. I definitely didn't think it would be. Like, even if you go into like one of those like cab overs in England, like that's going to be the same thing.
Yeah. I was talking with Sandy, and like his one is gray, and he's got the same. You can split both. He can split his bottom and his top end.
That's pretty wild.
And it doesn't matter which brand of vehicle it is, because we've got mostly Kenworths, but we've got an old Louis here, and I've been in a couple of different. I've been in a Freightliner, a Mac, quite a few Kenworths. The Louis, and they're all the same no matter which truck you get into.
Yeah, that's the other crazy thing, is it's not just standardized between trucks like a Kenworth, a Peterbilt, a Volvo, a Western Star, a DAF for like Scania. It does not matter what country, which model of truck, what make of truck you are driving. That is the standardized component, so the driver immediately knows what the transmission he is hopping into the vehicle. I don't understand it, how we standardize that in the world, but like, and it doesn't matter
Nothing
if it's
else.
An Eaton, a Road Ranger, a Spicer, it's still standardized for some reason.
Why did that become the thing that everyone just got along with? We're like, okay, this can be standard for everyone.
Like, if we can do it with transmissions, how come we can't start doing it with other things in the world?
Oh, because I like to measure in football fields. No, I hate that.
Well, I mean, the rest of the world all did metric. It's only one country that doesn't do metric.
That insists that they can't do it. No, we can't switch. Nope.
Oh, it's impossible. This is the better system. It doesn't matter that, like, every single other country in the world, except for, like, Liberia and Myanmar, all use metric.
Yeah.
Like, that is pretty well standard. As far as I'm concerned, if there's 200 countries in the world and 198 use metric, I'm just going to say the metric is the standard system.
That is and true. It's so much easier to understand. You got so many lengths equal a length, and then 70 mil equal a liter, and then everything else. So it all adds up nicely, whereas you've got to try and figure out the inches, miles.
Well, it's weird when you get into there. Yeah, like gallons and ounces. It's like, what? Why? There's like, so there's 112, 116. Like, what? Excuse me? So confused.
Everything is just divisible by 10 in metric. And it's like, I like how they're like, oh, well, basically, if you hold your finger out, the distance between the two knuckles is an inch, and that's easy to see. And it's like, okay, well, the distance of your fingernail is a centimeter. If you're just going to use random body parts, you can find metric random body parts.
Yeah.
And it's easy to guesstimate a centimeter over an inch, I think.
I think it massively is easier to estimate it. Like, I can estimate a centimeter way better than I can an inch.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same.
Oh, my God. And even just, like, I got a new... Our Napa store closed down here lately. Napa's just a part store. But this guy sold everything in the store. And I'm talking, he sold the display racks that were on the shelf.
If it could sell, it would go.
Oh, I went and grabbed all the display racks. So, you know, where it says, like, all the tools and the sockets and all that that are in the wall. And it said what it is. I'm like, perfect. I can just grab these. I'll drill them into the wall of my shop. And then I can just hang all my tools on the wall on the display case. And then I know where everything is rather than having a drawer. Wow. It actually works really great. Fantastic organization system. But when I'm trying to put all the sockets away, I'm like, oh, this is a 530 seconds. And then I got to figure out which number is above a 530 seconds. What does it hop up to in the next American socket size? At least in metric, you see like, oh, this is a 13 mil. Oh, okay, the next size up is a 14 mil, and I fucking know that. I don't have to guess what fraction they're using.
No, it's just right there. Like, okay, that makes sense to me.
Like, and you're like, 100%. You're working, and you're like, hey, someone's in the shop, and you're like, hey, can you go grab me a wrench? I need a wrench that's smaller than a 7/8. Oh, what size do you need? I don't know, roughly smaller than 7/8. Grab some wrenches that look smaller, but like
I need a 6/8.
If I'm grabbing and working with like metric, it's funny. So easy because you can grab like a 15 millimeter socket and you're like, oh, it looks like this nut's actually about 2 millimeters less in size. Well, then I need a 17 millimeter socket. I'll just go grab that. Like I can guesstimate. I don't know what fraction of an inch of a socket by eyeballing it.
Mm-hmm. No, or you go and you put the socket on it, twist a little bit, so you go, oh, I might need it. I've got a 16, I might need a 14.
Yeah.
It's just easy enough to tell. Yes. No, it's quite weird. I don't know why that's their hell that they died on, but it is what it is.
You know what? I made a video about it on TikTok, and the Americans are like, oh, well, yeah, but our system took us to the moon. And like, you realize, like, people that say, like, oh, yeah, well, the American measurement system took us to the moon, did they realize that NASA uses metric? NASA literally used metric. All the computer calculations for the entire Apollo program, the math, everything was done in metric. That's what NASA used. And they're like, oh, but when you're watching the things, all the computers say it in, like, miles. And it's like, of course, they're selling it to an American audience. So they just relayed, they did all the calculations, and then they saved their information in miles.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's a pet peeve of mine.
The Defense Forces haven't used metric.
Yeah.
I think it is such a globalized thing.
Mm. Do they?
Except they're in their vehicles.
Hmm.
When they're describing mission standards, I'm under the impression that they do use metric, especially when talking intercontinental missions.
I guess because if you have to deal with other like countries, like it makes it a lot easier. Because you're the only one who doesn't do it.
Exactly.
Well, hold on. If they ever do a joint operation with Libya, they are just laughing.
They're just, hey, guys, we get to use feet.
Hey, guys, we're doing a joint operation with the powerful military of Libya. We can probably use feet now.
Everyone just party. Very, very, very good. Oh, so we got the licensing. So hours of work. What kind of hours do you work over there, boss?
So we've got different stations over here. So you've got different fatigue management systems. That's actually been categorized across the country rather than state to state now. So I can run 14 hours without having to take a break, or a long break anyway. So I've got 6.5 hours equals a 30-minute break, and then 9 hours is 60 minutes, and then I can do 14 hours, and I have to have 8 off.
Okay, so you pretty well have the exact same hours of service Canada has. We have 14 hours we're allowed to work. And then that's in a 16-hour day. So a 16-hour day, you need 2 hours worth of breaks, but you're allowed 14 hours worth of work, and then you got to have 10 hours total off. Yeah. So you take 2 hours worth of breaks, work 14 hours, and then take 8 hours off.
So pretty much, I run a local job. I run local, so I don't have to worry about my hours of service. So I actually run, some days I can run 16 to 18 hours.
Are e-logs a thing in Australia?
Unfortunately, they are, but they're not as common. So, like you guys, we still run off our old logbooks.
Okay, so it's not mandated that you have to have e-logs then?
No, no. I'll actually send a snap when we're done, and I'll send you a photo of our logbooks.
Okay, so that's the same. That's the same in Canada. Like, some countries have e-logs, but there's no legal requirement yet. They're thinking about bringing it in. They've been trying for, like, 5 years, but we have no legal requirement to run e-logs. I think it's just the U.S. that has e-logs mandated that, eh?
I think the U.K. does as well.
Yeah, Europe has the tachograph system. Yeah. And honestly, I think Europe does it way better than the States did. In terms, when they made the law, unless I'm mistaken, but when I was working over there, what I was told was when you have to legally be paid by the hour. When they brought out their e-log tachograph system, they made the law that you need to get paid by the hour for every hour that the truck is logging. So if you're logged, because they said, okay, this is great. The justification for paying drivers by the mile was, hey, we can't track how many hours the driver's actually working. We don't know what he's doing. So we're going to pay the guy by how much he can produce, how many miles he drives, and that was a fair way. But then Europe said, okay, now that you have this way to record how many hours the driver works, you have to meet the same pay standards as the rest of the society, and you have to pay everybody by each hour they work. So if a guy's stuck in traffic, you have to pay that. If it takes him 3 hours to load, you've got to pay that. You can now track it, and if you're going to make him forced to do these hours, he needs to get paid for those hours. And I think that's the fair way to do it.
Mm.
Well, we've got both systems over here for pay. So we've got a minimum hourly rate, which is pretty fair. Like, I'm on almost $30 an hour full-time basis, so I get annual leave and all of the extra add-ons. And then we've also got our kilometre rate, which comes with the same annual leave, sick leave. My company pays approximately 48 cents a kilometre.
48 cents a kilometre. So that's about 75 cents a mile, 80 cents a mile.
Something like that. And that's just the standard rate that's fixed across all of our interstate work. And it goes up depending on what you're driving. So if you're driving a single, it's about 37 cents, I believe. But if you're driving a double, it's 48 cents.
Does Australia have minimum rates for like a minimum wage for truckers then?
So they do. So if you're on a kilometer rate, you have to get paid a minimum of $1,700 before tax. So if you only do enough kilometers to cover, to say, $1,500, you still get that extra $200 because it's part of our minimum rates.
Really?
Is that weekly or monthly?
So that's a week.
So we get paid. If you're on mileage basis in Australia, the government says you cannot make less than $1,700 per week as a trucker.
Full time, that is correct, yes.
See, that seems fair to me for people working hour or mileage because, like, that's the one thing I hate about trucking industry. Is that they're like, oh, well, we didn't have many loads for you, or hey, this load took forever. You didn't get, like, we couldn't arrange the miles for you. Well, I guess that's just your luck that you don't make anything. And, like, it should be on the employer. Like, if you're hiring a guy, putting him out on the road, you should make sure he's paid.
Yeah. All right, one second here. Who's got, like, a goat bleeding in the background? Like, what is that?
That is a crow in the tree that I can't even find.
Okay. But it's not stopping. I kept thinking it was stopping, but
man, background noise is super loud on this, isn't it?
It is. So
you didn't edit out the impact drill when I was screwing with you.
I know.
You were supposed to edit that out. Like I was messing with you, and then I've gotten nothing but complaints of like, why did Jace do that? It fucked up my speakers. I'm like, Jordan was supposed to edit that. I apologize to everybody that did not get it edited out. I was just fucking with Jordan, and he made me fuck with everybody on the podcast.
I am sorry, guys. I had a few people text me about it too, and I was like, I was going to take it out, but I thought it was really funny, and it wasn't. I do feel bad for some people because it was loud.
I feel bad for like headphones. It killed my ears.
Oh, I do feel bad then. Maybe I should go back and edit it out. But it was funny.
No, I know. It's hilarious. I agree. It's unexpected. But I also expected it knowing Chase.
Well, Jordan, like, I was doing like the quietest thing, and he's like, it was like the crow for the goat in the background. Or I'm like, I'm just doing the. He's like, you need to stop moving those two things. And I'm like, it's like, there's such a little background noise. So I grabbed the impact and like sent a lug nut in.
Just screaming.
Because like George.
I just like to think that some trucker was like falling asleep, listening, very tired on his way back from a long drive. And he heard that. We woke him up. We saved the dude's life right there.
Maybe,
that's what
maybe
I'm
we saved someone's life.
Yeah.
Oh, possibly someone else's.
Right. Yeah, there we go. You're welcome. I'm a hero. I saved somebody's life by waking up a sleeping truck.
Yeah, who was about to go in the ditch. Long, like he's on his 15th hour. He's got to get home and just... Holy shit, he's up.
I listened to that, though, and like that was way louder than it like even was while working it. Because I didn't even have the phone close. Like, I wasn't going to be that much of a dick. Like, I moved the phone like 6 feet away and then sent it in.
Might be worth just even lowering the volume on that section.
Ah, we'll have to work on it. I could do something.
I'm just going to apologize now because I don't think you can edit it without reposting the whole thing. So I'm just apologizing now for that last one.
Good man. I'm trying to think of more Australia-related questions. I don't know much about Australia. Is there worker programs for like worker programs for trucking to come over there? Like, could a trucker do a program to come over and work?
I think there's just an open thing.
Yeah,
you just jump on a work visa as long as you've got some work to go to and away you go.
It's actually easier than that. Canada and Australia have a reciprocity agreement for workers, like basically all of Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, any country that has universal health care is basically what our government said. And the governments around the world said is like, hey, yeah, you have a similar standard of living, similar health care, similar benefits. You can immediately apply for a 2-year work visa if you're under the age of 30 and it's a youth international experience visa. It takes like costs $200 and takes about 30 minutes to apply. I got mine for like the UK and literally it was like half an hour. They sit the thing, you go, you send your passport off, they send it back to you with a visa in it, and you just go over and you can work up to 2 years. Canada and Australia are both part of that. It's basically, it's every country in the world except for the US. I hate to admit it, but like they tried to include the US because you're entitled to all the full rights of like as a citizen would have. Like, you get all your health care and your government benefits. It's literally like, hey, for 2 years, you're going to be considered a permanent resident of this country. And you have the, it's not like the temporary foreign worker program where you have to work for one company in a specific industry for 2 years. You're allowed to do anything you want, like you were a citizen of that country. Like, I could go anywhere in the UK or basically all of Europe if I wanted to. I could go work down in Spain or anything like that.
It's all dependent on the health care.
Yeah,
that was the main thing they said is like they had to not include the US, like Australia, Canada, basically kicked the US out because they're like, hey, the worry is, I'm like, if somebody's got like, God forbid, cancer or something like that, or a major illness, they were applying to the program, coming up, getting their free healthcare, and then like running back. And it's like, hold on. Like, if you want a visa for like Europe, Canada, and all that, and you're an American, government makes you go through so many extra healthcare steps to prove that you're not sick before you come in.
I guess that makes sense, though.
It does, 100%. It's ridiculous that it takes that point. Mm. That point needs to be made.
They got to fix their healthcare system.
They really do.
I saw a video the other day. A guy was like, my wife and I did everything right. We both went to college, got our degrees, did everything right. We started saving young. We put away a ton, like started like a good retirement fund. We did everything we were supposed to do. All that saving is gone in like 3 weeks dealing with medical bills for my wife with cancer. We don't know what to do. We're going to have to remortgage the house. We did everything the way you're supposed to and we're done. We have nothing. It's like, that is so sad.
And you know what? It's not even that. You know what? One of my biggest problems I find with the US is like, they want to encourage their, you know, business, freedom, capitalism, everything like that. And it's like, the best thing you can do for entrepreneurs is have universal health care, because you know how many people won't go start their own company because they're like, well, I'll lose my health care benefits and I've got a family of four. And if any one of them gets sick, then it's like the people you said in the video, I lose my house, I got to remortgage everything. And it's like, it literally is designed by businesses so people do not quit their jobs, do not start their own companies and everything. It's like the most restrictive system, not having that universal health care. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
We need universal dental. My teeth are really bad.
We're coming out. We have universal dental now.
What?
You didn't know that?
No. If I go to the dentist, I gotta pay. What do you mean?
It starts this summer. The Liberals and NDP just passed that act. We're gonna be getting universal health care. Yeah, that's a thing now.
No way.
Yeah,
I support that.
We've had a form of it for quite a while.
That's pretty dope. My teeth
for some reason, Canada didn't have it, and we didn't have, like, prescriptions for some reason. So now they passed a law, and they're like, okay, just so you know, yeah, teeth are going to be covered under health care, and if the doctor writes you a prescription, the prescription is free, because it didn't make sense that you could go to a doctor for free, and the doctor's like, hey, okay, this is what's wrong with you, this is what's going to help, and you're like, okay, that sounds great. Hey, I can't afford to buy the medication. I guess I'll just be sick then. And they're like, oh, cool, free visit for the doctor, but you still couldn't get... So now they're like, if a doctor writes you a prescription, the prescription is going to be free.
Okay, that's good. I like the dental thing because I can't afford life with the price of fuel right now. So I definitely can't afford the dentist. So I'll just wait till the summer. So,
well, and that's the thing is, like, it didn't make sense to not include it because then what? People aren't going and they don't go to the dentist. So therefore, they have worse teeth, which causes bigger problems. And then once you get to the point of like, hey, this is infected, your gums are infected, it's a major issue, you can then go into the normal medical care system and get it covered. But basically the government's like, hey, just so you know, you've got it, rather than fixing a tiny cavity now, you've got to wait until it's a major reconstructive surgery and then we'll cover it. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Cover it where it's cheaper.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting for the major reconstructive. Just kidding. I'll go to the dentist.
Well, what's good about it? So we've got, with our medication prescriptions over here, you've got a, it's usually covered under the PBS, Public Beneficial Scheme, I think it's called, I'm not sure, or Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme. And what it is, you actually just pay a reduced price. So no matter what, if you're on a lower income, you only pay $6.60 per medication.
Okay.
So rather than having it for free, they offer it to you for a discounted price, a much discounted price. Like one of the medications I'm on, I'd normally pay $400 a box, but I pay $6.60 through the scheme.
Yes, that makes sense too. Although it's $6.50, why not just make it free and take out the middleman?
Oh, the government's going to make their money somehow, unfortunately.
I guess, but. Yeah, I'm just happy that it took us. I'm just happy that we finally have it. It shouldn't have taken 40 years, but here we are, I guess.
Well, you know what they say.
Hear about that in the news story.
Well, no, I'm just reading about it now. But this one's saying it's only for this summer. It's going to be only under 12.
Oh, it's for kids this summer, and then what? The next year they're bringing it in for adults.
I think so. It's like a progress. Like it'll slowly. So
that makes sense. Give everyone time to adjust.
Now, how am I supposed to get my teeth fixed this summer?
I guess you got to wait till next summer.
It'll be rolled out by age of 18 and seniors by 2023. Then by 2025, it'll be fully implemented, apparently.
3 years for full implement. Whatever. Still classic.
Still better than nothing. I have a body of a senior, so maybe next year.
Oh, there you go. And you got the mental age of a 12-year-old. So if
I got the mental of a 12-year-old and the body of a senior. I'm good.
Honestly, I kind of like Jagmeet Singh.
Whoa.
You know what?
Whoa.
for Drew, Jagmeet Singh is the leader of the NDP party that got this through. But you know what? Yes, the Liberals and Trudeau was an idiot. Trudeau was never for it, wasn't against it. Jagmeet Singh literally is like, hey, we need dental care because it's stupid that it's not part of healthcare. And Trudeau's like, oh, okay. Because they, in the last election, they didn't get the majority, Jagmeet Singh's like, hey, I'm going to call a non-confidence vote right now. Well, you're super fucking unpopular because of all the bullshit you pulled with the trucker. Either you pass dental care or we're going to send this party back into the Conservative Party. Like, the balls on that guy to just be like, hey, this is what we're doing and you're doing it now or you're out of power. Like, that's a ballsy-ass move, and I love that political play.
I do not like Jagmeet, but I'm all for the dental care. I'll give him that.
You know what? I kind of like the guy. Like, I hate Trudeau. Cannot stand Trudeau. But this guy came from, like, a poor immigrant background. Like, relatively poor background. He's done a lot of like he seems like a genuine, sincere guy that cares. I don't agree with all his policies, but as far as like a person goes, he's an incredibly actually seems like a sincere, caring politician, and that's rare.
Oh, look at that. We ran out of our political talk for the day. Okay, that's enough.
Sorry. Yeah,
that's enough of that. We're going to have somebody punching his steering wheel already. Don't talk about Jagmeet now.
I just wanted to get piss some people off on that one a little bit. You know, you got to get people worked up a bit.
Exactly. They got to be. If they're not leaving the episode a little bit mad, do we even try?
Right.
No, no. Well, in Australia, they've just announced our federal election, which is good, finally.
Oh my God, can I just say it? I'm sorry it's political, but the guy you got running the country is a fucking idiot.
For the issues that the party's got going on, he seems to just be the scapegoat. He's an absolute moron and doesn't know how to protect himself.
So what's been on there? Can someone, what's he been doing?
So with the fire, we had fires back a year and a half ago now. He took a trip down to Cuba.
Nice. That's like Trudeau. He runs on trips when he has a bad, when the country's going to shit.
It got to a point with COVID that he managed to just fuck everything up. So he would put us in lockdowns, take us out of lockdowns, reduce everything. And then all the work that we missed, he brought out a decent scheme, but I think that was more the push by the other parliamentarians. And then with the floods we've had recently, he hasn't done the right thing. He's just constantly dicked around. I don't know if you're aware, but Australia's got a multi-billion dollar fund for emergency situations, and it's meant to be accessed immediately and on the spot. Whereas he was refusing to try and release that money just to try and save the government some money, I think. And he's just pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah. COVID stuff, like, as much as, like, our stuff was bad, like, to the point that I'm like, when you see Australia, it's like, the rules really made sense, but they're like, hey, we're going to super lock things down. And you're like, if you're in the middle, because correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, you could be in the middle of, like, bordering the outback and, like, you know, the Northern Territory states, they're like, you can't cross the border between these two small towns. It's like, what is that doing? And
there was even this situation, because we've got a little town on the border of New South Wales and Victoria, and a lot of people were unable to work because they literally worked 5 minutes over the border, but they couldn't cross it.
Really?
But I will say everything's been reduced now, and we're no longer in lockdowns. Mask mandates have been removed.
Oh, that's good.
Vaccination mandates have been removed. So pretty much we're back to running like it's an endemic rather than a pandemic.
Perfect. That's about where we're at, too.
Did BC change everything, Chase?
Yeah. No more vaccine mandate or any mass mandate. We've gone. Everything's gone back to no rules in place at all again.
Yeah. Well, and it's crazy now. Like all my friends, the way everyone's handling it, it's like, hey, like, oh yeah, like I was a little under the weather this weekend, so I decided to stay in because I could be sick. Oh, look at that! How normal. Like, does that make sense? Like, and people are just acting like you would normally act if you were kind of sick. And it's like, meanwhile, why didn't we do this the whole time?
Meanwhile, China's on super lockdown in Shanghai.
What's going on in who's flipping papers around? Sorry.
Sorry, Jordan. I'll put it down.
Jordan is the audio Nazi.
I am. I'm proud of it, too. What's going on in Shanghai?
China went to a massive lockdown. They had, like, something like 10,000 cases of COVID in the city. They banned, literally complete 100% everything locked down for 3 weeks. You're not allowed to leave your apartment. That's it. No more. And, like, we'll bring you food and all that. You are not allowed to leave for whatever reason, for no reason whatsoever. Like, they went completely crazy over it.
Yeah, that's a...
They shut down completely from what I saw.
Completely, 100% shut down. But then again, too, for the last 2 years, like, they did a harsh lockdown like this 2 years ago. Like, completely got it to the point where it was, like, basically the same thing New Zealand did. Lock everything down, get to the point of no COVID whatsoever, and then completely reopen everything, and you can go about business. So China kind of did that. They're like, hey, they're in between lockdowns. There's no restrictions at all. But once case level gets super high, super harsh restrictions, everything locked down super hard for 3 weeks, and then back to business as normal.
I would make post to that if anything does come up again. But it's just the biggest one for me. I can't remember which country they did total travel bans. And like the hardest thing was their traveling. So it sucked for people with vacation. But besides that, the country ran normally. But like full travel bans, like nobody, no exceptions. And then when you did get back, it was very hardcore. Well, we were like lenient in some areas, but then not in others. And it was like it was very strange how we went about it.
None of our rules made sense. It's very similar to the Australian way where it's like, hey guys, just so you know, what we're gonna do is a bunch of half measures that make no sense whatsoever, aren't gonna do anything, and are just gonna annoy everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're like, hey, we need to lock down. They're like, you cannot go out to a restaurant and eat inside, but if we put up a tent in the parking lot, we're allowed to be open and you can eat in a tent in the parking lot. So we put up a bunch of tents because then there's like, oh, it's outdoor seating and it's less transmissible. So as long as you're eating while pretending that you're camping, you can't catch COVID.
Well, and no, you can't catch COVID standing or sitting down, because in the restaurants, you could sit down and eat without your mask and everything. You didn't have to have it on. But then as soon as you stand up, you got to have it on. So you can't catch it when you're sitting down.
Well, we've still got the minimum distance mandate.
So you have to avoid people?
You have to avoid people in restaurants, and they had to make all more outdoor seating and all that fun jazz.
Can you know what the one COVID restriction I did like was the 6-foot rule of everyone staying 6 feet away? Because I've just enjoyed having people stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah, just kind of nice to get your space.
I like that. Let's keep the 6-foot rule. Like, hey, yeah, you just stay over here. Because like, there was no more, like, the one thing, like, I hate it when you're standing in a line for something and someone's, like, standing, like, 6 inches behind you, breathing down your neck, and you're like, oh, my God, back the fuck up. Since COVID, and everyone's like, stay back. I like that, because I, like, okay, I no longer have a guy creepily breathing down my neck behind me.
Yeah, fair enough. That was a rule I could tolerate.
That's the one rule I want to stay. I will admit, one of the better things about being a trucker and COVID was the traffic. In Australia, there was next to no traffic on the roads.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Even off the start here, like, traffic did pretty well shut down for a few days.
Yeah, so that was awesome. We had about
6 months of no traffic, which was amazing. But we're back to normal, and I drive a lot in the city, which is just a nightmare with a rigid.
Rigid. That's such a different term. a rigid.
Well, that's the same term that, like, Europe uses, but they call them ridges and arctics.
Arctics.
Yeah.
Arctics.
Arctics.
Arctic.
Like an articulated trailer.
Oh.
Because your vehicle articulates in the middle on your fifth wheel, so they call them rigids and arctics.
Okay.
Which honestly kind of makes more sense than class 3 and class 1. It's a class 1 vehicle and a class 3 vehicle.
It is weird that we call them different things, though, because like in BC, even, you guys call tandems singles, and that's weird to me. And just over here, like, we don't call them that. Like, even just across the country, we call it different things.
What, you call we call tandem singles?
Yes, you guys do. Apparently, everyone I worked there, like, a tandem dump truck they called singles.
Oh, yeah, that's a single because it doesn't have a trailer. It's just one single box.
Yes.
Like, truck that's a single box.
Well, I'm aware, and everyone would call it, oh, yeah, like, a single's on the way. I'm like, what? What do you mean a single's on the way? And then, like, I don't know what I'm expecting, and then next thing you know, a tandem comes. Like, oh, yeah, like, a tandem? Okay. I don't know. Just different. What else did you guys call weird things? A few things.
We've got semis, which is just your single trailer. Then we've got our doubles, which is your AB setup generally, or a BB setup. But then we have to slap a long vehicle sign on the RSM, which is always fun. I'm just trying to think. What else?
You know what's interesting? That is the other thing that got standardized too across. That's the same in Europe, North America, A trains, B trains, and C trains. Europe, North America, and Australia all call them the same thing. Like, a B train is still a B train, and A train's an A train. That one's weird.
Yeah, 100%.
That is weird. Another weird thing you guys did was the blast, the excess from a blast in the quarries. You guys called it muck, and that was weird to me because it's like dry, big pieces of rock. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's muck.
We use muck too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You guys did that. It was very weird. It bothered me.
Oh, wait, you don't call it muck? That's a mining term. Muck is your mineral that's like, you muck out.
We don't have much mining like we do have mines here, so maybe they do on the mines, but it just seemed weird to me because you're moving like, yeah, like I'd be thinking of like mud and muck. Like that's what I would think of, not like blast rock.
No. Well, mud for us is concrete.
Concrete, what? Why would you, what?
That a bricklayer will call it mud.
Mud. Hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, I've heard bricklayers use the concrete and call it mud.
Because it's we just call it rock sand, soup.
It's a mix of aggregate, sand, and concrete. And generally, what else is it? It's a chemical.
I guess, why not call it mud? We'll just make the joke that it's rock soup. I like that one.
Rock soup.
Pouring some rock soup today.
And then you've also got the term of a mud carter, which is just your tipper trucks.
A mud carter. I like that. Carting it around.
Okay, I'm behind that one. We'll call it a mud carter.
Our friend David, there, Chase.
Yeah.
Or Pom. His class is a mud carter.
Okay.
Like if you haul concrete, you're a mud carter.
So if you haul concrete or dirt or anything in a box tipper, you're classed as a mud carter.
That's funny. Oh, it's weird how it works. Well, you guys say a lot of weird things too. Like, isn't McDonald's like Mackey's or something?
Mackers.
Mackers.
Mackey's. No, I've heard Mackey's over here plenty of times.
I do not say that. Don't you dare.
I've heard Mackey's. McDick's.
McDick's, yeah, definitely.
McDick's, yeah, McDick's.
Well, you've got KFC. I won't say the last one, but it's Kentucky Fried.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Easy.
Wait, you won't say it was like a very easygoing word in Australia.
It is, but I know that Jordan's mum listens.
Yes. Oh, exactly. Right.
And it's not over here. Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's not over here. Yeah, it is weird how that word, like, over there is, like, you can use it as a compliment. Like, hey, like, that guy is a good blank. And, like, over here, it's, like, a very derogatory term. Like, don't say that.
I have literally walked into the workshop here and called the mechanic a city next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's different, but hey, I don't know. Cultures.
we use a lot of derogatory terms as a loving and affection way.
Mm. Well, I'm a firm believer that it's the tone in which you say something more than the words. I hate people that get hung up on the word, be like, I hate that word. And it's like, no, let's look at the tone in which that word, like, any word can be said in a nice term or an aggressive term. It's the intent behind it. And I feel like as adults, you should be able to realize the intent without realizing the word.
100%. It's some people just a soft box.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that.
I just want to say, like, it's mainly like a bunch of like middle-aged Karens that seem to be like, you can't say that word. And it's like, nothing was ill-intended here. Like, that's if not... you give a word a power, like, you're the one giving this word. You just don't say that it has power. The word doesn't have power. It's how you intend it.
Well, that's like the word fuck. Imagine that. Even 15 years ago, that word was not anywhere near as acceptable as it is now.
Oh, my mom hates the word fuck. And it's one of those ones where it's like, the word fuck is such a great word that if you took the power away from it, like from like if you were born in the 60s and the word fuck is like, oh my God, I can't believe you would ever say that. But like now it's just, it's such a useful word that you can put in any situation to perfectly convey emotions.
Even my kids say it. Like, I've got 4 kids and even my oldest says it. And he's only about to turn 10. So,
jeez.
But that's the thing is, like, if the kid grows up thinking it's a normal word, he's not going to be offended when he hears the word. It's like Australians using cunt. You're like, oh, what's up, you cunt? And you're like, oh, no problem. That's just a normal word. So who cares? Like, I think the best thing you can do is normalize every swear word, use them indiscretionally, and then nobody can be offended by the word if the word is super used. You take the power away from the word by keeping that word as, like, never say the F word, like, do not say it, it's so offensive. Then when somebody finally hears it, all they're doing by keeping that word offensive is using it like a weapon. They're like, don't, that's my weapon word that I use to hurt people. Don't use it in a context where it's not hurtful, because then I can't hurt people with it later. And it's like, no, just fucking take the power away from the word. But, disarms
but it. But in the current society, where, like, who's slapping their dasher? Well, who's making the noise right now?
Not I got a helicopter jargon. Flying over top of me right now.
Someone is slapping. Someone's making a lot of noise. Anyways,
I was just closing my center console.
Sorry, I hear everything. Everyone getting offended. Everyone gets. We're in such a like a fragile society right now. How are we supposed to do your opinion of that? Like we're just. Oh yeah, let's normalize it. No one can get offended. Everyone's so offended by literally everything right now. It's such a sad glass society. How are we gonna change that?
Well, fuck those cunts.
Okay. Wow. Sorry, mom.
All right, right. Sorry, you should tell your mom to not listen to. Well, to yeah. Part.
After 40 minutes, just take a break, mom. Okay, Chase. So you want to rant about helicopters? Do tell.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. So for the last 2-3 weeks, they've been heli-logging the pipeline because the environmentalists said you can't disturb this soil. It's an environmentally sensitive area. We don't want to log. Normally, you use a skidder, drag the logs out. So instead, for the last 2-3 weeks. They've been having a bunch of heavy lifting helicopters dragging every tree that they hand fell off of the pipeline. So I've been listening to chainsaws for the 2 weeks before that. Then all these helicopters come, lift the logs off the pipeline. They carried them away. And then working outside, the pipeline is directly beside my house. And all I can hear is massive amounts of helicopters flying over our head every 2 minutes moving logs. Because they didn't want to disturb the soil in an environmentally sensitive area. And this week, they brought in a bunch of D8s, 4 D8 cats, and bladed the entire topsoil off and dug it down 2 feet. And now there's excavators digging the hole out to lay the pipe. So I'm like, I listened to 3 weeks of helicopters for environmentalists who were complaining that they would disturb the soil at $8,000 an hour per helicopter with three of them, putting out a shit ton of CO2 into the atmosphere, like disturbing, and they just rip it up.
I don't get that logic because obviously they had to know, hey, like the trees are gonna get taken out. Yeah, you'll disturb the ground, but the ground is gonna get really disturbed anyway. Like it's getting dug up. They're putting a pipeline in. Like
yeah, but the environmentalists didn't want the land disturbed for the logging operation. They're like, we don't want the logging to disturb the ground. They're like, okay. We'll use helicopters then so we don't disturb the ground.
Yeah.
And then rip the ground up because the logging permit was under a different environmental permit than the pipe laying permit. And the pipe laying permit could disturb the ground, but the logging couldn't due to the environmental. And it's like, you have spent, they spent, it's taxpayer funded. So the government of Canada has spent $25,000, $30,000 per hour for 3 weeks straight to not disturb the soil, to only this week rip it up. So the government of Canada has spent $3-4 million to not disturb the soil for 1 week. And
that is our government, though, in a nutshell. It's just so backwards. Like, that is ridiculous.
Not to mention the oil crisis we're currently in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't even. When Elon Musk is tweeting about how North America needs to focus more on oil, that is wild. Like, that guy owns Tesla, the biggest electric vehicle company in the world, and he's saying, hey, we need to focus on oil in Canada and America. That is crazy.
Yeah, we're having issues here, and I mean, I don't know how bad you guys have got AdBlue over there.
Yeah, we do. We call it DEF fluid.
And unfortunately, we've just gone through a massive shortage over here.
Yes, I've heard that shortage is supposed to be coming here. And, like, we're going through a part shortage where people with their emission systems, like the little sensors and ejectors, are on, like, 6-month back order. So it's people are deleting their trucks because they literally can't run with the emission system in them anymore.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like most diesel shops won't give you grief. But for safeties and everything, like, you're legally supposed to have a working DEF system, I'm pretty sure.
You are, yeah. You do need it. But literally people, they're like, okay, well, we have 1 year on our inspection. Like, delete it. We'll run for 6-7 months, and hopefully the supply system is fixed next year.
So, what else? Drew, we'll do the wrap-up questions then. I'll ask one of them.
All right.
What is the lightest load that you've ever hauled?
Okay, so the one I've probably liked, it was a 100K trip out of my way for a bolt. A single bolt.
One singular bolt. Big bolt?
I sent you that photo, Chase. It was only a, I think it was a 15-20 mil bolt. It was a trailer bolt. So it was not exactly a huge bolt.
But he went 100K out of the way.
100K out of the way because that's what they needed it that day, so they paid me for it. Might as well call it a hot shot load.
Yeah, honestly, that's kind of ridiculous. You could have sent a little car for that, but that's okay.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm on the road anyway, and I get paid. It was a company run because my company has the trucking side, and they've also got a mechanical repair side.
Mm.
Ah, so.
So, okay, I got to ask the next question here. What is your dream truck?
Is it terrible that I want to say an Edison?
Oh, that's not terrible. That's great. That's, no, great. No, that's the best answer.
I've been following it extremely close to the ground, and I'm very excited to see the Edison come to life with the prototype.
What do you think of the design?
I'm actually, the more I look at it, the more I think it's going to be an amazing design.
Mm-hmm.
I like, any comments on anything we can change, improve, things that you're worried about?
I think it's just, it looks like it's going to be a good design. I mentioned to Chase a while back that you could also look at the possibility of running a solar panel just for the internal systems. But other than that, it looks like it's going to be a great system.
Oh, don't worry. I've got a plan for running solar here that, like, right now it's just in a spitball idea thing that me and Eric have been playing around with some math on. And, you know, a full 53-foot trailer covered in solar panels won't move a truck down the road. It's just not enough power. But if you connected at least 3 to 4 of them together, it would be enough to power the truck. And now I'm thinking, I'm like, hey, in Australia in a road train, if you had 4 53-foot trailers, you would move down the road under her own power.
Really?
And the amount of road trains that run in Western Australia, which is pretty much just sun all year. Even in the wet season, it's all sun.
Sorry, Chase, someone mentioned to me on TikTok, they were DMing me, and they were kind of making a few comments about the regen braking, and like for when we need to waste some power, like say with your logging, you might regen too much power. They were saying, how cool would it be if you could run a Bitcoin miner on your regen braking? And I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, that would actually be pretty cool.
Be Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, when you have too much power, you need to dump it and start running the Bitcoin miner.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'll have to give them credit, but they DM me on TikTok. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. I want to finish up the road train to see what Drew thinks of this idea. Because Drew, you know there's a race in the Outback where a vehicle, the main component of the race is that the vehicle has to run completely off of solar.
Yes.
It's not allowed to recharge its batteries. And you see all these places from like Harvard and MIT and like the Shell company. And like they have these super sleek like bicycle tire kind of cars that are completely like aerodynamically molded into fiberglass. And I'm thinking, like, what if we just, when we come out to release, if we ever make it to the Australian market, how we're going to make our debut is I'm going to put that old 1962 Kenworth sitting in there with a road train of 4 trailers. You'll have all these nerds from, like, MIT, Harvard, and then there's just going to be this old C500 Kenworth just sitting on the line.
Mm-hmm. Just screaming away. Well, I guess it's solar, not screaming. I wish we could make it scream. We'll get a sound of it. We'll just record a sound. We'll have enough power to run a speaker of it screaming.
No. Well, I'm just imagining these guys in the races. You're coming up on them, and they're in these like bicycle car things, and this road train just goes hammering by them. It's like, oh yeah, we're doing the. Oh yeah, absolutely, we're hauling freight and winning this race. Like, you, not only are you winning the race, you're hauling a load up to the mine at the same time.
Yeah. Then, hey, you guys got anything in the mine we can take on backhaul?
I can guarantee they would be, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I feel like it meets the Edison philosophy perfectly of, fuck it, just put more power in it.
I guess. Well, yeah. That's funny. Well, Drew, thanks for coming on. If we can get your social medias.
So I've got TikTok and Instagram both run under the same handle of TransTrucker94.
Okay, very cool. Well, thanks for coming on, Drew. Great chatting with you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, Drew.
I hope to be back.